The Planet Rock Podcast with Sky Talk. Find a Sky Talk pack to suit you with inclusive calls to UK mobiles. Search Sky Talk.
Hello, I'm Paul Anthony, back for another Planet Rock podcast with Sky Talk. We got loads of amazing Planet Rock highlights for you today, including from the vault, Guns N' Roses guitar legend Slash, and also...
Everybody's a clown, as far as I'm concerned.
It's rock god Alice Cooper. We've also got some more recipe advice from our two-wheel friends.
I always put blancmange in my trifles.
Yes, the hairy bikers.
Trifle, all the delightful. Diddly-dum-dee-dee.
Both Justin Hayward and Robin Trower feature on My Planet Rocks.
There's a lot of testosterone going around in that band.
Thunder's Danny Bose is here.
Well, there you go.
And here.
That's an interesting and salutary tale, isn't it?
And finally, you'll hear from my exciting trip on board Iron Maiden's Ed Force One before the band's performance at the Download Festival.
When we did a fly past at the Berlin Air Show, I think it freaked one or two of the passengers out because they looked out the window and suddenly saw the ground an awful lot closer than they were used to.
But first, as promised from the Planet Rock Audio Vaults, it's the one and only... Slash.
Well, Axel and I met a couple times before. I first met him answering an ad in the paper that they put in for a guitar player. Him and Izzy were looking for a lead guitar player, and so I went and met them then. Nothing came out of that. Then months later, a year later, I saw Axel at the Harry's Open Pit, and I was like, there's that guy, you know? And I went and saw Izzy and Ax play at Gazzari's one time with Steven. And somehow we started, from that point on, we started to know each other a little better and started what was almost Guns N' Roses in a band called Hollywood Rose. And Tracy Guns was around at this time. And we got together, and Tracy was supposed to be the guitar player, and I came into it, and then Izzy left, and Steven and Axel and I had a band called Hollywood Rose for a minute. And then that split up, and Axel went on to form up with Tracy. And I had a band with Duff and Steven, and that fell apart, and Duff joined up with Axel. And so I've just sort of known Axel, you know, through all these different things. And then eventually Guns N' Roses started. Hard to explain, but on a corner of Gardner and Sunset, there's a building, and behind that building there's a little alley, and it goes into an alcove, and it's just a one-story sort of bunch of storage units, and we rented out one of those and lived in it. And so Axel and I were there pretty much 24/7. And we had parties there, we rehearsed there, we did our whole thing there. And that's really was like the really beginnings of what became a permanent kind of band kind of thing. It's hard to explain. But that solidified our sort of gang, you know. And yeah, there you have it.
Now it's the man who dies on stage several times a show. Nights with Alice Cooper, only on Planet Rock.
Freaky Facts tonight. Like every other night, you're going to get 1% smarter by indulging in my fun and freaky facts. Are you ready? Because here we go. A single coffee tree yields only 1 pound of roasted ground coffee annually. So they're really underachievers. A coffee tree's really going, I don't care. Maybe if I had some coffee, wake up. At last count, there are about 226,000 trees in New York's Central Park. Somebody had the time to go count them in New York City. Somebody got paid to count the trees. What do you do for a living? I count trees, Central Park. I mean, it's a demanding job. According to studies, men prefer to have white bedrooms and women prefer to have blue bedrooms. That is interesting. I would have gone the other way. I would have thought that women would like the lighter bedrooms and men would prefer more of the man cave bedroom. Huh. Okay, I'm wrong. Either that or I'm dyslexic. January is named for the Roman god Janus, who was a temple god that could look forward and backward at the same time. Like one of those lizards that runs along the top of the water. I don't think that's what the god Janus looked like. Janus, they just called her Jan. Anybody that knew her, Apollo and the guys, Mercury, they go, hey, is Jan here? No, she's running along the lake. And finally tonight, the color blue has been proven to have a calming effect. It causes the brain to release calming hormones, which is a great name for a band, the Calming Hormones. I actually like that better than Tame Impala. Event horizon lost in space, running in a human race. I don't know where, I don't know when, but somehow back then time began. I'm on the edge that you can't see. I'm not particularly a single.
That was Iron Maiden with Speed of Light from their most recent Book of Souls album. There's a track on the album called Tears of a Clown, which Bruce Dickinson says is about Robin Williams. Says Bruce, I asked myself, how could he be so depressed when he always seems to be so happy? Well, if you're a sad clown, write to me at alice@nights.alicecooper.com. I'll tell you what, I know a lot of comedians, classic comedians, that have a very dark, depressed side. I don't know if the comedy is supposed to basically combat that or if their life is so full of comedy that they feel that they have to go the other way. But there are some guys that are pretty dour and you don't want them to be. You want them to be kind of up and fun and everything. And I guess they feel, well, that's what I do for a living. That's like me, I guess. People, you know, if they see me on the street, they want to see me in makeup, you know, with a snake, doing all this stuff. And I'm going, no, I do that on stage. I don't do that for, you know, in my regular life. You're listening to Nights with Alice Cooper. Everybody's a clown, as far as I'm concerned. Just different degrees. That was Alice Cooper, a.k.a. me, with Billion Dollar Babies. On this Labor Day evening, we recorded that album in a mansion that we rented in Greenwich, Connecticut. For us, that was the best way to record. We had this place called the Galicia Estate. It was 38 rooms. I never saw the whole house. It was that big. And it had a driveway that took about, it was about a quarter mile to get to the house. It was like one of those houses on The Haunting where people would just go, don't go back to that house. There we were. We could rehearse there. We could record there. We could do everything. And nobody, the only person that was anywhere near us was Betty Davis, who lived next door. And she used to bang on the door and told us to turn it up. All right. Well, if you want to record my next album in your apartment, I don't think that's going to happen. Drop me a line at alice@nightswithalicecooper.com. You're listening to Nights with Alice Cooper. As long as your mom will agree to do backup vocals. Tracy's mom.
Should we do the Sunday roast amnesty?
Why the flaming Nora not?
Cy and Dave's Sunday roast amnesty.
On Planet Rock.
And it's from Martin Cook. And the subject is trifles.
Oh.
Trifle, trifle, all the diddly-lifle.
Diddly-dum-dee-dee.
I love the show. Thank you. And I'm at home recuperating from heart surgery following a cardiac arrest 2 weeks ago today.
Oh,
you poor sausage.
Oh, never mind, mate. I hope you get well soon.
I would not be here if my partner had not given me CPR for about 20 minutes on her drive, helped by Dave the neighbour, until the emergency services arrived.
Wow.
I owe my life. Oh, well.
Wow.
He didn't say a name, but Martin Cook's partner, you deserve a medal.
Yeah,
and I can tell even by the email how grateful Martin is. Anyway, We're discussing trifles getting ready for Christmas, and we need you guys to settle a difference. I always put blancmange in my trifles. She doesn't. Who is right? I'd say she is. I'm a custard man.
Well, you see, the thing is that I have seen some of the great, great chefs of the world use blancmange in their trifles. And I've also seen some of the great chefs that don't. So to be fair to you, neither of you are wrong.
I'll tell you what we've got out there one time, which is an epic one. And it's a Black Forest trifle.
Ooh.
It's like a mixture of a black, you know, all the bits are in a Black Forest gatto, but in trifle form.
I tell you what.
It's out there on the internet somewhere.
Yeah, it's great. Oh, it's in one of our many cookbooks.
No.
Did it not get in the vacation?
No, I can tell you where it is.
It was a Black Forest gatto.
Yeah, no, I know it's on. No, yeah. The Black Forest trifle is out there. But it's epic. But just think, you know, you can make it up really. Just use like chocolate cake instead of your sponge fingers. You got your custardy bits, your thingy bits, or your blancmange bit if you want. Lots of chocolate shavings and cherries soaked in booze and kirsch. It works.
Oh, get in. And I tell you what, let that be a lesson to everybody, that it's always worth doing a little course in CPR or first aid. So it really is. It really is worth it.
I'll tell you what, Martin, if you don't want another heart attack, lay off the trifle.
I would. Unless you've been smoking tabs.
Yes, so if so, give up the fags, everything. Stay alive, stay breathing.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously you're in love with your partner and it would be, you'd be a sorry miss for everybody. So just keep trucking, mucker, keep trucking.
Get healthy, get well, because we don't want to be saying, Martin, we wish you were here.
No, we don't. Is that what's coming next?
Of course it is.
Oh, come on.
So you think you can tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain? Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail, a smile from a veil? Do you think you can tell?
Gone, can you give us an email?
Right, this one's from Jane Savage. Hello,
Jane.
I tell you what, Jane, when you wear those leather pants, you could savage anybody. Lovely. Hey, anyway. Oh, it's the subject is the Rory Festival. It always freaks me out when I get an email about Rory Gallagher, because you know my old mate that wrote in and said, no, King, you definitely have seen Rory Gallagher because you went with me. God, I was bad, man. That was anyway. Hi, love the show, guys. Respect. Oh, well, thanks, Jane. That's very kind of you. Not sure if you guys know about the Rory Gallagher Tribute Festival that is held in Ballyshannon in Donegal Island.
No, we don't.
But each year, it's worth a visit.
When's it on?
Oh, I don't know. The whole town is taken over by gigs in the pubs, on the streets, and in the Big Top each night. If you ever feel like coming down and like the music of Rory, you'll love it. Fabulous atmosphere and good beer. Keep rocking, you two. We love you. Oh, how lovely. Thanks very, very much, Jane. That's a lovely invitation. There is two things that you've neglected to tell us. A, when it is, and B, where can we stay?
Yeah, look, we can look it up on the internet.
We'll look it up on the internet.
Can you imagine everything like a couple of days in Ireland, pubs and Rory Gallagher, that's a proper weekend.
Yeah, it is. And the Irish crack be great. Actually, some of my family don't come too far away from Ballyshannon.
We can imagine what's happening now. Because we know there's so many Rory Gallagher fans who listen to our show. And there's people there. They're stirring the gravy. The chicken smelling, going, thinking, love, look it up. Look it up when it is.
Look it up.
This village is going to be mobbed this year.
It's going to be great.
It is going to be great.
Well, keep it. And listen, any festivals you have like that, or any little gatherings that your communities are doing, give us a shout and we'll shout out to the rock fraternity across the countries and nations.
Yes, because we are all brothers and sisters.
And brothers and sisters in confusion.
Yeah, and denim.
We are the only people on this planet that have built a safe and cosy cabin on this flaming ship of fools.
Oh, shut up, Kingy. I think it's time to run to the hills now.
Riding through dust clouds and barren wastes, galloping hard on the plains, chasing the redskins back to their holes, fighting them at their own
This is the Planet Rock Podcast with Sky Talk. Choose from a range of Sky Talk packs, which include free calls to UK mobiles.
If it rocks, it's here. Planet Rock. Planet Rock. Planet
Rock. My Planet Rocks with my guest this week, Justin Hayward. So I'm guessing with the amount of work rate and pressure that was put on you, despite the fact that there was, in the band, there was a lot of vocal sharing. It's clear there was a lot of other stuff going. It wasn't just all pinned on you, but there was still a lot of pressure on you. Yeah. Did that contribute to the hiatus or temporary splitting up in 74? Was it burnout?
I think that there was a tension within the band, and I was kind of on the sidelines of it. But Mike had a life that he wanted to develop outside of the band. He'd moved to America, and it's an interesting dynamic in a group. When I first came to the group, we were young, nobody had anything, inexperienced boys, but very strong personalities. And through those first 7 or 8 years, some people came to the fore and rose in stature, and other people retreated. There's a lot of testosterone going around in that band. And so I think the personality tension became unbearable for a couple of the guys. And so they kind of retreated into their own lives. I could see a split coming. And my worry was that there'd be things said that couldn't be unsaid.
Mm.
Fortunately, they weren't. And so we just drifted apart and didn't make any plans.
Did it feel like an opportunity for you personally at the time, or was it more, I've got nothing else to do, I'm going to have to try something else? Because it was, what, 3 years until you brought your first solo album out?
We finished some gigs on the West Coast, and I honestly didn't know what to do. And I went to the Beverly Hills Hotel and booked a room and kind of waited for the phone to ring, which it didn't.
Sobering experience.
Yes, that's right. So I came back home, and then a few things happened to me. I did the Blue Jays album, but then Decca said, listen, we really want your songs and your voice on an album. So I was lucky enough to do the songwriter album. And that coincided with a phone call from a guy called Jeff Wayne, who was working on the project of the H.G. Wells story of the musical version of The War of the Worlds. That was one of the luckiest phone calls I ever had, because he sent me the demo of Forever Autumn, a song from The War of the Worlds. And that has been a song that's taking me around the world. I can go anywhere in the world and play it, and people will know it.
UK. You rock.
Planet Rock.
Planet Rock.
My Planet Rocks and my guest this week, Robin Trower. So you've left Procol Harum and you're going it solo. Did you have, at that time, moments of self-doubt, or were you really bullish? Did you think, oh, I've left a really successful band to go it alone. What if I sink? What if it falls on its backside? Or did you think, no, this is going to be even better than what I've had before?
I had faith. You know, I knew I was a good guitar player, and I was starting to write stuff that I was, as you say, strong about. And I was just very lucky, though. I mean, I just fell on my feet, and that's the fact of it, really.
Yeah. Was that a timing thing as much as anything? Could you reckon if that was 40 years later in the 2000s, in the internet age, could you fall on your feet as easy as you think? I know it's hypothetical. Was it an era thing that made it easier to sort of land on your feet, so to speak?
Well, let's not forget, then, in 73, when I did it, there were so few artists, really, then, compared to now. Like, everybody's making a record now.
In their bedrooms?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So, you know, there wasn't that great competition, you know, where you get lost in a sea of other acts, as it were, you know?
Well, the second solo album of yours, it's a 1974, Bridge of Sighs, which the title track is, you know, one of the songs that many people still associate with. If you say your name, oh, Bridge of Sighs. Did you know then it was going to be such an influential track?
No, I knew it was good. You know, when we were cutting that album, we knew it was strong.
Mm.
You know when you've got something potent, but couldn't have imagined how well it did. No way.
Is it the worry that you can never replicate that? You know, when you've, like Procol Harum, White as a Shade of Pale, you think, how do you top a cult classic? Or is that the motivation right there, is the constant quest to match it or better it?
Well, the thing is, you're thinking, people really like this, but I see flaws in it, and I mean to go on and do stuff that has less flaws. So, you know, and the whole thing is the fun of creating new music, really. That's what it's all about, you know. That's what drives you forward. It's not the ambition of selling more or whatever, you know, or being as popular as you were or whatever. It's the creative side of things. Writing music, making music, that's where all the fun is.
Danny Bowes, Life and Rock.
Drop and give me 20. You're all worthless and weak. I love it. Oh, Twisted Sister, We're Not Going to Take It. And before that, Queens of the Stone Age and No One Knows. God, blimey. I think it was 1982, Terraplane, we opened for Twisted Sister at the Lyceum. And it was the most terrifying gig of my life. They were all huge. Huge men wearing huge platforms and with all the makeup and everything. It was like being in Land of the Terrifying Giants. It was awful. I hated it. I met Dee Snider, and I thought he was going to rip my arm off. It was just so scary, really scary. But they were lovely, 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 lovely. I mean, loud, obviously, being Americans. But they were fantastic. OK, let's have another tune. That was Rainbow, Man on the Silver Mountain. Ronnie Dio returns yet again. He's everywhere, isn't he? He's omnipotent, the man. This is a Pocket Money pick from Tristian McKillen in Cardiff. Tristian, that's a good name, isn't it? Anyway, he says that his album bought was Master of Puppets, and a favourite song on the album was Sanitarium, as in Welcome Home. And we asked, when you got it home, what did you think? And he says, I was handed the tape of Master of Puppets in the middle of the street by some random bloke who said, you look like you'd like this. Then he drove off with the owner of the car chasing after him. So he nicked the car. But he gave him a cassette out of the car. Brilliant. It turns out the owner of the car didn't want his cassette back because Tristian did ask him. Oh, that's good, isn't it? When I got home, I was blown away by the sheer ferocity of the first two tracks, amazed at the menace of the third track. But when Sanitarium came on, I had goosebumps. Absolutely amazed at the dynamics. Well, there you go. That's an interesting and salutary tale, isn't it? Interesting indeed. Magnanimous car thief. Kind of goes against the grain, really, doesn't it? I'm going to steal your car and then give your cassettes away. Amazing. All right, thank you, Tristian. That was very good. This is Metallica for you. Welcome to where time stands still. No one leaves and no one will. Rule is full, never seems to change. Just labeled mentally deranged. Dream the same thing every night. I see our freedom in my sight. No locked doors, no windows barred. No things to make my brain seem scarred.
Planet Rock, flying into download, on board the iconic Flight 666.
Right now, we're sitting on the tarmac at East Midlands Airport, aboard Air Force One in the cockpit, piloted expertly, I have to say, by one man. Mr. Bruce Dickinson, how are you, sir?
I'm all right, I see. Good.
Now, you keep a lot of things in your life very busy. I mean, obviously, one minute you're headlining a massive festival like that, the next minute you're suited and booted, and you're flying this beast.
Yeah. It is a bit of a contrast. Every now and again, you know, we've been lucky enough that, you know, we're allowed to sometimes have people sit here and watch what goes on in the cockpit, and they're quite surprised because it's very different to what goes on the stage. I don't know whether they expected me to be hanging from the ceiling or something, but it's very different.
So how different is it to flying the 757 that you flew before? I know you took loads of exams, and Nico was saying that you passed them all with flying colours.
Well, I hope so. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here otherwise. But it's not that different, in truth. It's like driving an HGV compared to a 10-tonner, if you like. So some differences in technique. It's a slightly more modern cockpit, and obviously it goes a lot further. And the big thing is, of course, it's a lot bigger and a lot heavier, and that has a few ramifications. But
weather-wise today, coming here to East Midlands for Download, unfortunately the weather conditions weren't perfect. You weren't able to do a fly past or actually come in over the crowd, which is a shame, but I know you tried your best to try and do that for the fans.
Basically, I think, you know, with the cloud base and the weather conditions and everything else, and we were, we were a bit unsure as to how accommodating the tower would be and things like that, so we thought, you know, best land there. I mean, when we did a fly past at the Berlin Air Show, I think it freaked one or two of the passengers out because they looked out the window and suddenly saw the ground an awful lot closer than they were used to after we'd just taken off. And they thought, oh my God, you know. So I thought, well, you know, we don't want the sound engineer having like nervous fingers tomorrow.
It's amazing to think that all these years later, you're still doing it, you're still at the top of your game. In fact, I was sorting out my office at home a few months ago and I found an old cassette of Donington Live 1987. I was broadcasting live from backstage. We had a chat, we were sitting on the stairs of the Portaloo, of all places, very salubrious. And this was 29 years ago, and I couldn't believe you were saying something like, well, it's all different now touring. I'm getting a bit old for it now. You know, we take the family on the road and, you know, we don't go out like we used to. I'm getting a bit old for it. 29 years later, Steve, and you're still sprightly and you're still doing it.
If I said that, then wow. I mean, 29 years. Wow, it's amazing. But yeah, I mean, we're still out there, still with the family and still touring and whatever. And yeah, that's probably why I'm still here, because I gave up all the partying all them years ago. So I lived so far to tell the tale. But yeah, we're still here, we're still jumping about. And yeah, long may it continue.
So when you started in Florida and you went out on stage for that first time, as you said, 12 months before, not knowing whether that was ever really going to happen again, what was the feeling like? I mean, you must have been absolutely buzzing.
Yeah, it was really special. I mean, you know, it was just obviously, we knew that he'd be able to sing well on anything like that, so it wasn't that, but it was just the fact that, yeah, we hadn't played for, I don't know, it must have been a couple of years almost. And, you know, just being the very first one, yeah, it felt special, felt kind of edgy as well. Maybe a little nervous, maybe not. I mean, we did rehearse for a month, so, you know, we should be sort of ready by then. But even so, you know, you can rehearse till the cows come home, but once you get out there, it's slightly different. So after a disastrous year last year, it's a fantastic year so far.
Well, that's your lot for this episode of the Planet Rock Podcast with Sky Talk. Hope you've enjoyed listening. We'll be back with even more rock and roll greatness next week. Remember, you can listen to Planet Rock via your DAB radio, online at planetrock.com and via our Planet Rock app, or you can listen on your telly on Sky Channel 0110, Virgin Channel 924, and you can catch me every weekday morning on Planet Rock Breakfast. See ya.
All the best bits of Planet Rock in our weekly podcast with Sky Talk. Love to rub it on for hours? Search Sky Talk now to find a pack to suit you.